For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is the very traveled, the very cultured, coming back from the NFL Combine, Joe De Leon. Good evening, good sir.
And also very sick. Dude, I don't go anywhere.
The clap.
That is not what I. You're gonna get me in trouble, man. You're gonna get me in trouble. It's so dumb. I don't go anywhere. So my immune system was not prepared for a lot of close interactions with people. So whatever I caught is kicking my ass right now, but we're surviving. We're here on the show. I'm sad that we didn't get a show yesterday. It felt really weird because I was traveling yesterday that we didn't do a show and we missed a lot. There was a lot that happened over the weekend.
Yeah. We got so many things that we need to touch on here. NCAA says that they're not investigating NIL. We got microphones and speakers and helmets. We got a 2-minute warning. Why I probably will go on a rant on that. Okay. Just tell me you're making it the NFL.
My first thought exactly.
Because last year, if you remember, and Joe, they're doing this in increments. Last year, it was to speed the game up by 15 minutes. Yeah. Now you're adding 2 5-minute commercials, adding 10 more minutes back to the games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
absolutely right.
For the money.
You're 1,000% right. That was my first thought when you tagged me, and that was they're trying to make this the NFL. We are closer and closer every single day to this becoming the NFL.
By the way, something that we didn't talk in pre-show, it just hit off the top of the dome. Did you hear Trent Dilfer on McElroy and Cole Kublik about the teams leaving and there being 60 power teams and there being like a – I tagged you in it. Probably your sickness.
I don't think you did. Yeah,
Trent Dilfer just basically saying that 60 teams are going to – you know, it's just going to be all 60 teams. Only those teams can get in the playoff. No more group of five. They can have their own league, do their own thing, whatever. Okay. And basically he just said that the powers that be are taking over and this is going to be more like the NFL.
Yeah, that would have been a good topic to hit on. Yeah, I didn't see that, but I have noticed today there's been a lot of speculation on the Super League, the 48-team, 60-team Super League. There's like Andy Staples of On3 put out a post. Saw one on CBS Sports as well. I think something might be about to happen. Maybe we don't know. Maybe it's not for months from now. But, man, it seems like there is so much steam for that to end up happening. And I'm not shocked that a guy like Dilfer, who is very forward-thinking, doesn't believe or he does believe that there could be capability for such things to come together.
My only problem with that is who's making that decision?
Is it probably the conferences before the NCAA. Although – what the NCAA said on Friday kind of seems like they're actually being forward-thinking for once.
Maybe they're being forward-thinking on the NIL thing before y'all just – oh, let's go Rocky Top!
I'll wait till we get to that, but it sounds like they are. It sounds like they're going back to the drawing board and they're going to actually put together real plans and they're going to move forward with those real plans.
I mean, in fairness, can we just cut it to what it is? In fairness – They were trying to investigate pay for play. That's all. Like, they weren't wrong in this. I mean, they really weren't.
I hope we don't spend that segment talking about
okay,
that.
We
I
won't.
Really hope
we
won't.
Johnny Manziel is in the storyline saying that he will not attend the Reggie, unless Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back as, and is enacted as being a Heisman Trophy winner. Joe, can I tell you one thing? This is the only thing I push back on, okay? Someone else needs to be the spokesman about not going to the Heisman other than Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, this is like, I get it. It's a good sentiment, but it's also like, I don't think it's a bad thing if he's not there. Like, I don't think anyone's like really, he's in none of the Nissan commercials, probably for a reason. I don't think anyone's really worried that he's not showing up for this stuff.
You know what the Heisman committee, the people that run the Heisman, you know what they said when they saw that? Oh no, Johnny football's not going to be there.
They're probably saying he's still alive.
Probably. From a guy who's openly admitted to breaking massive rules when they were enacted, I don't think you need to be the face of trying to get Reggie Bush's Heisman back.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, the flip side of that coin, it's the old adage, two things can be true in once. Give Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy back.
Yes. The person delivering the message is not the person that we want, but the message is true. It's very correct.
It's like trying to get Mary Magdalene to preach for Jesus. Do you know who Mary Magdalene is?
I'm going to pretend that, and I do, but I'm going to pretend I understand what you're trying to say there. I am
a hooker preaching for Jesus.
Oh. All right, that makes plenty of sense.
All right, we got lots and lots to talk about here. Everybody, do us a favor while you are in here. Hit the like and share. If you're doing the replay, watching us on the replay, do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Joe, we got tons to talk about. Let's get into it. Let's waste no time. Everybody, do us a favor. If you're on Facebook, like, share to all those groups, share to all your social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. I got a question for you out of the gate, and I think you're going to like it. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back.
That's a very good monologue to ask you the first question of the night, because Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1 at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Yeah, did you notice he didn't do any of the receiving drills?
Can I be honest?
He immediately shut it down. Yeah, because he's got pretty inconsistent hands, and he's not a really consistent receiver. So he was smart enough to say, all right, we're done. We're done here. I broke the record.
Yeah, I mean, why? If you broke the 40 record, let me tell you this. Yeah. I would not do anything else either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with the decision, but it kind of plays into the point that I'm trying to make here. He's a very inconsistent receiver with poor play strength that weighs 165 pounds. Could he go in the back end of the first round? Absolutely. I've been saying that this whole weekend on the radio spots that I've done. But
I don't know if I've been on radio all week.
Yeah, I've been on a lot of radio spots. I was on WWL not too long ago.
Oh, New Orleans, Louisiana. Mike Tatilia, stand up.
Yeah,
okay.
They love me on that show. But my whole point here is I'm still not taking him, you know, that early. He's not a first-round pick.
Dude, can I tell you something? That just God's honest truth. These last 2 weeks with J.J. McCarthy and everybody trying to compare everything to Jaden Daniels as well, just goes to prove to me that people think they watch college football. They, yep. Joe, they don't realize that we have a full-time job and it's tough for us to keep up with everything, much less them. This whole J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels thing, it makes me want to vomit.
I really think that you and I should talk about that on Wednesday, by the way. As soon as we opened the show, I was like, you know what? If there's a draft topic to go over, it's that one. I really think we should spend some time talking about it.
Okay, I mean, just let me know. I'm always down to talk.
Yeah, I know that QB. You are.
Well, just to talk QB play. By the way, on the teams that I analyze and break down on a weekly basis, just going to throw this out there. We're 5 for 5 on quarterbacks. Just throwing that out there. Maybe somebody should have listened to me when Jaden Daniels plus 4,000 in the Heisman Trophy odds in the offseason. Uh-huh. That's all that I'm going to say. Joe, a lot of storylines have been hitting over the last, well, let's just say 4 or 5 days. Obviously, the sport is changing very rapidly and very quickly. Even so much so, okay, this was a part of my worry when we did, not getting into it, but we did talk about the Tennessee versus NCAA thing. I think, Joe, with that, radios and helmets, completely fine with it. We have the technology. You have the NFL to go off of. Nothing bad has happened in doing that. The problem I have is now that they're going to enact the two-minute warning. Joe, no fan has been saying the games were too long. Nobody has been saying that they don't like tempo offenses and the big cards that people hold up during the games, like Josh Heupel in Tennessee or Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. But they added a two-minute warning where I don't necessarily mind a two-minute warning. It doesn't bother me none. Okay, it's two-minute, whatever. You told me last year that you were going to do a running clock to make the game shorter, only for you to add a two-minute warnings for 10 minutes worth of timeout, which is ad revenue that you get. Stop telling me that this is about safety or anything else. Joe, they are trying to make college football into the NFL. Bottom line, that is just what is going on.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on that. I the helmet stuff,
it
with the radios. I mean, it makes perfect sense. We talked about how much of an advancement that is going to be, but I'm kind of dumbfounded that this was snuck in there. Like, this was just randomly thrown in there at the end. Oh, by the way, we're adding a 2-minute warning. The fact that there wasn't a 2-minute warning and the clock stopping with the ball going out of bounds, all that stuff.
Right.
Removing that from the college game is inherently removing an important aspect of the college version of football. Like, that is what makes it inherently so different from the NFL. And I know we spend a lot of time and a lot of college football fans talk about, well, if we take certain things out of the game, we change certain things, it's changing the integrity of the game. Like NIL, all that stuff. But something like this, like, why was this necessary? This was completely unnecessary. It is, as you're talking about, trying to professionalize it more. And yeah, they probably analyzed it and they probably were thinking, well, we could get X more amount of ad dollars if we add these breaks, these deliberate breaks into the game so we can stop it and we can send it to commercial.
1,000%. And Joe, we do not have to be, for what it's worth, we do not have to be what the NFL is. And I say we, meaning college football enthusiasts, people that love college football more than the NFL. Now, maybe you do. I think you love college more. Clearly you do. But we don't have to be what the NFL is. Like, and here's the ultimate problem that I tried to warn everybody on, that nobody would – I'm not going to say nobody listened, because I got a lot of reception that agreed with this sentiment. But I also got a lot of pushback, okay, from you included on some of it, but not all of it. It is what it is. Joe, I just don't know where we're going in this sport. I legitimately am – I'm not worried, because from a financial standpoint – schools are going to be making more money. Players are going to be making more money. The money problem isn't the issue. But if you continue to tinker with things that fans are just like, hey, man, like, what are we doing? It's aggravating. Okay. You will draw away some people. Okay. Like, hey, man, it's just a professional league. It is what it is. I mean, I'm going to still watch. A lot of people are still going to watch. But I just don't know what leader in the clubhouse and all of this are wanting to make these rules. And it's why I think, and look, I'm going to use him as an example, but I'm not criticizing him, because I think he's doing what he's told. Ross Dellinger, Dan Wentzel, Matt Zenitz, whoever it is breaking these news stories, Pete Thamel, I don't care who it is. They always start with rule changes in college football. Leaders advise me. Well, stop saying leaders. You're not reporting the facts then. Okay, you're not. Who is the leaders? Tell me who is running these. Is Tony Patini and Greg Sankey, did they sign off on a two-minute warning? If they signed off on a two-minute warning, I want to know. And that's why when we get to SEC Media Days or Big Ten Media Days and these questions aren't asked, it's a joke. Like, Greg Sankey, do you believe that 14 teams should be in a playoff? It's a joke. It's funny, Joe. Commissioners have and people, administrators, coaches have talked about NIL being an issue. How can you tell a kid what he can and can't do with his own money and start getting paid millions when you're out here doing the same damn thing, you freaking hypocrites?
Well, that really feeds into a very much more complex argument.
Wouldn't you agree that it is the argument? Yeah,
no, it is. And this is something that we're probably going to touch on when we talk about the Tennessee NIL thing. I don't really see anywhere where I don't have common ground with you. The only thing I pushed back on that you said earlier, I don't think this really necessarily is going to turn anyone away from the game, because at the end of the day, the reason why people watch college football, not everybody is like we are, where we like to watch all of the games and we just love national college football. Like us and the listeners of the show, they love that. But I think for the most part, most college football fans, they're obsessed with the regionality and the schools that they went to, the schools that are down the road from them, all that stuff, the states that they live in that don't have pro teams. So I think at the end of the day, we're not going to lose anybody because it's becoming more like the NFL, just because there's, you know, guys getting paid.
No, you're not going to lose us. You're going to lose the people that are on the fringe or just, hey, you know, I'm just a fan.
I would actually kind of push back slightly. I think it's going to be making the closer it is to the NFL, the reason why they're doing this is not only for the ad dollars, but so that they can also attract more casual fans to watch the games. They want people to just randomly decide to watch their alma mater when they originally didn't care before. That's why they're doing all this. That's the biggest reason why expanded playoff, all that stuff, is because they want more people to watch more compelling content.
Joe, look, we're going to have to continue to go through this until everything is broken down and then we have firm structure. Let me just say it like this, and I think this is the most clippable thing that we'll say all night. Joe, to me, the college football that I grew up with, that you grew up with, is no longer. The teams are the same. There's some of the traditions of what you do is the same. You know, there are things that are still true that are still there and they're never going to leave. But the college football that you and I grew up on is no longer. And I'm not talking about NIL. I'm not talking about the transfer portal. Those are two completely separate things. What I am talking about is the direction and the leaders and where they're pushing college football to be. And I do think that there is some worry behind it because, listen, like why can't they say who is making the decisions? That is the biggest problem that I have.
Well, isn't it the competition committee, or am I just making an assumption?
Yeah, but who's on the competition committee?
That's actually a good point. I have no idea how to find that out.
So I don't either. And believe me, I've tried. So it just comes to a place and comes to a part where, Joe, there, you talked about this earlier in the show, that there's a good chance that we might have two Super Leagues.
Oh, wait. I think I found it. Okay, the Division I Competition Oversight Committee. These are the current people. AD of South Florida. Associate Commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. The Sun Belt Commissioner. Deputy Commissioner. TCU.
Are they naming names?
Yeah, Michael Kelly of USF. Okay. Okay. Tiffany Daniels of the SEC. I mean, it's a bunch Tiffany of really great. Yes. There's a bunch of random schools on here, like Delaware State Athletic Director.
What's Delaware FCS school?
Fairleigh Dickinson Athletic Director, which this is listed them as an FCS. They are not an FCS program.
So we have Rudy Poos deciding these things.
I mean, this almost feels like this is just made up. This feels like I'm obviously speaking like I sound like an asshole when I say that, but like the St. John's Athletic Director, they don't have football.
Oh, my God.
Why are they? I didn't even know that the American University Athletic Director, none of these schools have football. There aren't any leading commissioners or athletic directors at major programs that are on this. They're all associate athletic directors or ADs at small programs that don't have football. St. Louis University Deputy Director of Athletics is on this oversight committee. Portland State is football.
What a joke. What an outright joke. Anything since Friday that has that you've seen that you want to touch on? What do you think about the – let me ask you this. What do you think about the radios and the helmets being finalized?
I felt like that was inevitable with everything that went down. Not really surprised or shocked by that at all because, again, we spent so much time talking about the importance of it for alleviating a lot of the issues in the games. But I think this conversation that we were just having, though, for having structure goes in line with the statement that was made by Charlie Baker on Friday in relation to all the NIL stuff and them deciding to stop.
Can you give a brief synopsis just in case people didn't hear?
Yes. So he released a statement on Friday saying that they were going to cease NIL investigations. And the main focus of his statement was, we're going to focus all of our energy instead of trying to investigate. I'm actually like, I didn't know this until today when I did my research. Excuse me. But he actually made a statement, and I'm dumbfounded by this, that they're going to spend all their time and energy by looking ahead and looking forward to rebuild the structure of Division I athletics.
Do you believe him?
I mean, he hasn't been around long enough for me to have evidence to know what he can and can't do, but I'm like actually blown away that everything I yelled about for the past 2 weeks, he's actually going to do it. He's actually going to put together rules and structure and probably the idea that he had months ago and actually build it out. Now, is everything going to be a shit show and run amok in the meantime? Yes, absolutely. But since NIL has become a thing, this is all that they could do. You know, this is all that they can do is just let things run wild until they can build out a structure, and hopefully they do it pretty quickly.
All right. In reference to the NCAA saying that they are going to suspend NIL infractions, it was, again, it just solidifies what we talked about on the show, like you mentioned. I'll touch on this first with the NCAA thing with Tennessee. Joe, I know and have heard from people and really connected people that changes are coming. The problem that I have with that is that I've heard it for 4 years. I've heard for 4 years since NIL was a thing that changes were coming. Now, changes have happened, but not in the big structure of NIL, not in the big structure of name, image, and likeness or transfer portal. Nothing's really come about it. Nobody's really done anything. And I do think that there's an avenue where they try to play this out as long as they can because everybody's making so much money. Like, I fully believe that we could be here another 4 or 5 years, maybe not to the degree that we think that we are. Maybe there are things that are enacted that puts a cover or a Band-Aid over a massive wound, but I don't think that there's anything that can fix. I heard an attorney speak on this a couple days ago. I think it was Friday, and he goes, everybody talks about unionization, right? Well, there's nothing to unionize name, image, and likeness because of the simple nature. If you're State Farm and you want to do a deal with X, Y, or Z quarterback, there's no collective bargaining agreement that can stop that. So, I mean, there comes a point, Joe, where I don't think that we ever get to a place where all of this is going to be back to I say, quote-unquote, normal, but back to where you can enforce things, where if people break rules, that you can enforce it. I can't believe I am the one that's – I never thought I would side with the NCAA on anything, much less this, but I do – I don't fault them for trying to do something about everything in the Wild Wild West. That's it.
I'm surprised that we're not arguing at all over any of this stuff. My big thing is kind of in line with what you just said, where all we've heard is promises of getting it fixed, and we haven't made any progress. And there's been a lot of shitty decisions made throughout this process by the NCAA, hence what I talked about last week, where trying to take Tennessee and investigating them and getting sent to court, it completely blew up in their face, which is why it led to where we are. But I am just not optimistic, but I actually feel good. I don't feel good. I don't even know how to phrase it. I'm shocked that they actually went out of their way to say, basically, we messed up and we're going to take the time to actually build the future of this. Now, does that come too late after the SEC and the Big Ten have decided that they're going to separate? I think that if Charlie Baker's smart, he's going to be as active as possible to infiltrate whatever those advising committees are. He needs to if he wants to remain in control of these teams.
Well, he goes to the office in Manhattan every day. You know he doesn't go to Indianapolis. So he didn't even go in the office ever. So he doesn't even talk to his people in person. Let me ask you this question. I know we mentioned it, but to circle back to it, do you think – what happens now with radios and helmets for tempo offenses? Do you think this helps or hurts Josh Heupel? Does he change anything, or does it make their offense faster?
I think that it does. I mean, for the tempo offenses, I almost kind of – and I was listening to a show that was talking about this. I kind of wonder if they still don't try to use signals on the sideline for high-tempo offenses.
Oh, 1,000%. But think about this. Think of how crazy it's going to be for I think about Sark. I think about Lane. I think about Heupel. I mean, this is going to just absolute – like, they can still use signs, okay, but you don't know what signs that you need to look at. Let the quarterback – go in the helmet, tell them what play it is. I mean, like, this is going to – I don't know if it doesn't make them faster in a lot of ways.
Right. I just – part of me kind of wonders because there's not a lot of not like a ton of up-tempo in the NFL. So, there is not a lot of correlative examples that we can look at. And there's a lot of up-tempo in college football. So, those connections, I kind of wonder – I'm in that same boat where I'm not totally sure – where this all comes together, where they
well, you know, I mean, college football has had trends where they send things to the NFL more than not. Okay, a lot of times what happens is, if you think about it, from high school to college to the NFL, like scrambling quarterbacks 20 years ago wasn't a massive prevalent thing. Now if you can't move at all, like if you're a statue, they will not draft you, and they sure as hell ain't going to draft you high. Okay, now maybe some of them, like, I mean, well, Burrow's mobile. I mean, I don't know who else they, you know, Baker is mobile. So, like, it has trickled up. I don't know if NFL teams, like, after this next year, if they don't look at what Josh Heupel is doing, be like, hey, man, how did you just accomplish this with the radio and the helmet? I think that it could it might show NFL teams something that maybe we're just – maybe they learned something from this. Because, Joe, you have 132 teams versus 32. Like, everybody's going to be tinkering with this.
Well, that's – and I know that we're going to get to in a little bit for the spring headlines. I'm actually, like, really curious what the feedback ends up being in the response from these teams talking about coming out of the spring. And I wonder how much they're going to use it. You know, I wonder how much is this, like, an immediate go into the spring, here's the radios, you can use them, or is this something that's not going to come around until the summer? I really think that there's a lot of potential impact if they can use that during the spring.
Bring back the huddle.
You think that they're going to bring back huddles?
When's the last time you've actually seen a true huddle? Well, you're a Notre Dame fan, so that's different. But when you watch college football not named Notre Dame, Joe, teams don't go from the huddle.
No, very rarely. It's all line of scrimmage.
Bring back the huddle. Can I tell you something? It ain't going to change nothing.
No.
Being in a huddle or getting the play from the line, it doesn't change a damn thing.
No. No.
It does not. I am 32 zone, 33 zone. It's going to be 30. It's going to be the same thing whether I hear it in the huddle or at the line of scrimmage. That's why teams went to the hurry up anyway. Nothing changes.
Right.
All right.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joe, let's get to spring headlines. What are some of your spring headlines you're looking at?
Yeah, my first big one that I'm going to be paying really close attention to, and it's probably the most obvious one, is what happens with Alabama, particularly two parts to this. The quarterback competition. Is Jalen Milroe going to just maintain this momentum after the finish to the season that he had? Is he going to be the starting quarterback of Kalen DeBoer's offense this year? Or will we see Austin Mack take over because he is a little bit more physically built to play in DeBoer's offense? That to me is going to be massive. And I'm kind of curious if that at the end of the spring, we don't start to hear murmurs that there's competition between the two of them and that it's actually a close battle. It's not a foregone conclusion. And that leads me into, I want to know who the heck ends up going in the portal after all this. I kind of wonder if there's a lot of kids on this Alabama team that don't think, all right, I want to see how the spring goes and see how I mesh with the coaching staff, that don't end up hopping in the portal. And if Jalen Milroe is not starting, he should get in the portal. So I'm kind of thinking to myself here, what happens with all that stuff? Does Jalen Milroe see the writing on the wall and realize it makes more sense for him to jump ship? There's a lot of – I have heard nobody talk about that. There is a lot of possibility of that.
To add to what you just said, I mean, people are automatically assuming it's a race between Milroe and Mack, but completely forget that Dylan Lonergan is there. Completely forget that that Ty Simpson is there. So I do think that you bring up an interesting point about this. Joe, are you 1,000% convinced that Ty Simpson, who's been in that system, been in that – place a long time, or Dylan Lonergan can't beat out Mack or beat out Milroe? I mean, I'm not 1,000% sold that Lonergan's not your day one starter.
I completely forgot about Lonergan. I mean, but this is all I'm talking about. There's a lot of talent in this quarterback room, and I would argue Jalen Milroe is an oddity amongst the group. He is nothing like the rest of the guys because Ty Simpson, big, more pocket style throwing quarterback, Austin Mack, big, strong arm, and then Lonergan going to be a little bit more pass-oriented than Jalen Milroe. So, I really, really think that there is a strong possibility that he could transfer at the end of the spring because he can't leave in the summer. He can't leave around the
unless
time
he graduates.
Right. But he's not going to – if he loses the job during training camp, he can't just transfer out. He's stuck there.
I'm not 1,000% sold that Kalen DeBoer doesn't look at Milroe and says, man, I might work with this. Like, he could change things up now. I mean,
there's nothing that he does that is even close to any of the quarterbacks that he's had before.
Penix pre-injuries. Penix used to move, man. Penix used to run that thing.
Not as well as Jalen Milroe. He was a much more proficient passer, though.
No doubt, without a question. What's another spring headline you're looking forward to?
What the heck is happening with Lincoln Riley and USC's defense? This feels like one of those ones where either they do a really good job of hiding it, or we could hear some murmurs that things look pretty messy. I would love to know, because I found a little, you know, a little scuttlebutt this past week talking to some people at the combine. It sounds like the whole Alex Grinch thing, that whole situation was as messy as we all thought. I have no idea how he's going to work with a guy that's not his best friend. I have no idea how that work relationship's going to work. I have no idea how the current group of guys, if they're good enough, to at least improve a little bit. So there's a lot up in the air for them defensively.
Can you elaborate on more of the scuttlebutt? Like Lincoln did not want to fire him, or?
Yeah, I was talking with somebody about it, and it was mostly along the lines of, one, why he was a bad defensive coordinator. He made no adjustments during the season. They just ran the same scheme every single game. They went into games and then also made no halftime adjustments, none of that stuff, because he was very thick-headed, just thought everything was going to work. His defensive approach also not really meant for the Pac-12. It was more for the Big 12, where teams are throwing the ball a lot. You're trying to turn the ball over. That's not going to work well because they were missing tackles when they're trying to force all these turnovers. But the gist of what you're talking about here is because of the relationship that he had with Lincoln Riley, it was as true as we thought. You know, they are very, very close with one another, and that was why he wouldn't fire him. Apparently, too, he's very close with the strength and conditioning coach that he brought over from Oklahoma to USC, and there is some speculation that some people believe that he is not exactly preparing them in a manner that is going to help them succeed, which we've talked about a lot, how important it is to have a good strength coach. And that is something that has never been discussed, that the lack of a good strength coach for them, and because he doesn't want to fire a buddy of his, is probably killing them because they're not developing guys.
If DeAnton Lynn gets him to the playoff or helps him get to a playoff, I don't think he gives two Rudy Poos about Alex Grinch.
What do you mean?
It's of my opinion, when we hear this about coaches religiously, okay, because we've heard this a lot about coaches and them not wanting to fire their buddies and their friends. Oh, how quickly things can change when you're winning. Like, Joe, if God for – and I, LSU fans, I don't think this is going to happen, so just don't cancel me. Joe, if USC goes out in game one and shuts out LSU – he ain't going to give two shizites about Alex Grinch because it's going to help him get back to where he ultimately wants to go.
Well, I mean, less about Alex Grinch, but my whole point with bringing up the strength coach thing is that if they struggle this year, we kind of know where the source is. You know, we know where it's coming from.
I think what you're doing it right now is you know what you're trying to say, but you can't really say it. But
a little bit. You know, I can't explicitly say it, but I think you understand, and people listening kind of understand what I'm getting at.
There's a lot of
buddy in that coaching staff, and way more than most programs.
Okay, hold on. Can you clarify? You're gonna so we don't get canceled. Can you somewhat clarify? Well, like, there's no.
Why are we gonna get canceled? That's not what I meant. Okay, I'm saying that there's a lot of close friends on his coaching staff, unlike other coaching staffs who typically don't just hire their buddies.
Okay, well, it seemed like
I am not implying that they are having relations with one another. Jesus Christ.
Joe, can I repeat what you just said, though? I mean, you were like, they're really close. They're really buddy.
Okay, but that I think that most normal people knew that I was not implying that.
I mean,
it's a college football show.
I mean, is somebody like doing reverse cowgirl? And I mean, like, what are we talking about here?
No, no, I'm just talking football. There's none of that extra shit.
Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy is their theme song, is what I mean. Brokeback Mountain in LA is what I was hearing.
What are some of the headlines you're looking for?
I am looking to see how Ole Miss, with all of these transfer portal pieces, are able to come together and, you know, enact. Joe, I do question what they have at running back. Okay, the biggest lie about that everybody believes is that Lane Kiffin doesn't run the football a lot. Joe, yes, he does. And I think missing or having a guy like Quinshon Judkins leave is bigger than they will admit that it is on the field. Not off the field, it might not be. But they got Ulysses Bennett, okay, the fourth. Can he carry the load? I don't know if he can. But they have big-time weapons. They got Juice Wells. They got Troy Harris. I'm just really interested in seeing how these new defensive pieces, because, Joe, you could talk about them being not only a playoff contender. On paper, I'm not 1,000% sold that they're not an SEC championship contender. So I look at them, and I think seeing what the hearing and seeing what the defense looks like coming out of spring might be one of my biggest storylines.
I like that you bring up the running back situation, because losing Quinshon Judkins could either be devastating or it could just be on to the next. I forgot that Logan Diggs ended up there. I mean, Logan Diggs is a great athlete. Diggs
has a torn ACL, so he's not going to be there until October, maybe November.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, nobody wants to report on it. I will.
Well, all the more reasoning on I'd love to know who that next running back is. They probably have athletes. They have good athletes. But who emerges as that lead back? And I know that sometimes they rotate guys, which they did 2 years ago with Zach Evans and Quinshon. But somebody could really stand out and end up being that next guy.
Do they go get a portal do they go get a running back out of the portal in spring?
Right. And they might need to because they don't have the players that they're looking for at the running back position. But as you talked about, they run the ball a lot more than people think.
Oh, dude. That is the crux of his offense. If you stop Lane running the football, they're not going to be prolific.
Yeah, we literally saw that happen against Alabama. Couldn't run the football, made a bunch of really stupid passing.
We saw it against Tulane.
Yeah.
Which leads me to another storyline inside of a storyline about Jackson Dart. I mean, he's going to have to take that next step up for them to take or go where they want to go. If he doesn't, they're going to remain the same if they can't run the football. So, again, Joe, I think they have potential to be one of the best defensive lines in the country, though. I mean, with Walter Nolan and Prince Umanyelen, I mean, they could be really good.
Yeah, the D-line stuff, I feel like I'm less worried about that. Like, I feel like
there's some scuttlebutt, but there are some issues. You know, like, did you see the Kentucky fight? Did you see the two players at Kentucky fighting?
Yeah, but you were in spring ball too, man. Dude, we used to get into fights in the locker room. I'm more worried that they posted it than they got into the
fight.
Correct. Dudes wrestle too in the locker room all the time because it's a football locker room, and it's – you woke up at 5 in the morning, everyone's all riled up after team lift, and everybody starts wrestling one another. That sounds really problematic.
Well, they weren't wrestling, though.
Oh, they were fighting. They were fighting.
Yeah, they were fighting. But –
but whatever dickhead posted it, that I'm a little more concerned about, that there is no understanding of like, okay, this should not be on, you know, on public media.
The best part was the song in the background was Knuck If You Buck.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
But there can be, you know, you bring in a whole influx of dudes, there can be cancer. There's a reason guys leave. Now, who knows? We'll see. I do think they brought in some really good pieces. I think storyline number two for me is pretty simple. You ready? I think it is the storyline this offseason. You ready? From on the field. Joe, what goes on at Ohio State? I think the biggest storyline in the country right now on field is Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, that defense, the offensive weapons that they have, Will Howard coming back, Devin Brown saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not a quitter. They're going to have to tell me to leave, and if it's the best for me, then maybe I will. Joe, there's no other team in the country right now that you can look at and say you're not more intrigued by than Ohio State because of what Chip Kelly being there means, what this defense did a year ago, and what they can continue to do. And I got to be honest, you continue to disagree with me. Will Howard is an upgrade from Kyle McCord. This year, they're going to get better quarterback play this year than they did last year, which I do think with the weapons that they have makes them more dangerous.
I think at the end of the day, yes, I might not be super excited about Will Howard, but I don't know how much we're going to find out from the spring on how everything's meshing.
You will on how they call plays, though. If this is Chip's good offense, point, you're going to know. So, again, to your point, though, on that, and I rudely interrupt you, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right.
You're going to know day one, snap one, spring one. If they're running up-tempo and they're going hurry up and that's how they're enacting this offense, Joe, you know who's running the show.
I think the spring game specifically for them is going to be really enlightening because – if they don't hit the ground running and they don't look – their offense, the way that they just upgraded it, better kick the crap out of their defense. Like, they better – I know that sounds aggressive, but they better put up a ton of points in the spring game.
Can I push back on that?
Go for it. Their defense is really good. I'm not going to say that.
Their defense is good, so when you bring – if you're going to change and bring in new terminology and scheme – I don't think it's fair for us to assume, like, Joe, they got to score points. I'm not saying that. If they score 20, if the score is 28-28 or 24-28, whatever it is, and they don't really look great offensively, it's not indicative. Because, like, let me give an example. When Joe Brady came to LSU, the entire offseason, I remember having to talk about, like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe Burrow isn't going to take that next step. Maybe, you know, you know, maybe he, you know, we were sold a bill of goods on this guy named Joe Brady. And I'm like, it's a fucking spring game. And then, you know, I mean, the rest was history. So I just, especially with dynamic play callers like that, like Brady or Chip or Joe Moorhead, for crying out loud, like whoever it is, I'm just not going to, I mean, Joe, unless they go Billy Napier, remember how bad Florida's spring game was last year when they didn't score a point? If it's yes. that bad, okay, then we have a problem.
That's not going to happen. But I think that the opposite will happen, though, that, and this is kind of my whole point, I think the offense is going to look really good. And I'm not going to, like, panic if it doesn't, but I would love to see all these pieces play together and see how productive they can be.
I'll just continue to say this, and I have no allegiance nor tie to Ohio State, none. But I'm fascinated a little bit by how they are not, like, let me give an example. There's more storylines on Ole Miss than there is at Ohio State, which I think it should be the opposite. I think the opposite should be like, hey, man, I mean, we talked about it for one day, and then we talked about Chip, and that was about it. Like, we ain't really discussed this.
Right.
We ain't talked about them enough, so we'll see. William here with a 99 super chat.
Thank you, William.
Thank you, for sure. Says, hey, guys, I've been a huge fan for the last couple months. You guys always keep it real. Joe, going into spring, who do you have stepping up for the Irish in the O-line room? Can these youngins step up and be a top five offensive line?
Yeah, I know that we're turning over a lot of guys, but I'm not worried, because the last recruiting class in 2023, they pulled a lot of really good football players. Charles Jagasaw is going to be an unbelievable left tackle. Like, he is going to end up being probably almost as highly drafted as Joe Alt if everything goes according to plan in a couple of years. And I think that there's going to be some competition at some of these other spots. Pat Coogan, we've seen contributions from him, and I'm kind of curious on who, where he fills in. I've heard good things about Tosh Baker, or Tosh Baker taking over that right tackle spot, and I would kind of expect that's how it's going to be. But the big one that I'm expecting and them paying attention to is Charles Jagasaw. I think he's going to be an All-American. He is a freakish athlete.
So Jagasaw at left tackle, Coogan at left guard, you said?
Yeah, that's kind of what the expectation is Coogan at left guard, Ashton Craig at center taking over, and then Billy Shrouth at right guard.
What about Baker?
Well, that was who I just said at right tackle. He's a redshirt senior. He's an upperclassman. So, like, him taking over for Blake Fisher, I mean, he's played a little bit, so I'm not really too worried about him taking over that spot.
We'll see. Look, I will tell you this. I don't mean this in a wrong way. And William said, I'm sorry to bring up the Irish, Blake. I don't care. I will talk I'll talk college football all day long. Ty says, you are an Ohio State ass kisser.
A little bit. I'm joking.
Well,
Elks loves you for a reason.
Well, all of y'all's mamas can come to my house and tell them to get their knee pads.
Okay.
All right. What were we talking about? Oh, Notre Dame. I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to like.
I'm shocked.
I love Mike Denbrock more than anybody. He is a dynamic play caller. Play calling is going to take a massive step up. Can I give you the but?
Yes.
You don't have the weapons on the outside to get where you want to go.
We just brought in a ton of really good receivers. We're going to be fine.
Joe.
We're going to be fine, Blake. We're going to be fine. Where our receiver room is 10 times more talented than it was last year.
You don't have the weapons that when you get to into the playoff, Joe, you don't have those dynamic.
That FAU. So you used to tell me last year that they didn't have the speed. Which I didn't agree with. The FAU kid The FAU kid that they just brought in, and I'm forgetting his name, is expected to be a guy that's going to run in the low 4.3s, maybe faster. He is like a Will Fuller type athlete that is going to completely boost their receiving room. And Bo Collins is a good receiver too.
He can't run go routes all night long.
They're going to be fine, man. I think you're overlooking the talent that they just added.
All right. Remember, for the first time this year, on March the 4th, the year of our Lord 2024.
When you gave me shit last year, I didn't completely disagree.
No, hell no. Your ass pushed back. You were like, we got speed. Did you see the Navy game?
No, I didn't say that we had speed from the Navy game. I said I felt better about the receiving room and the way that they played against Navy.
You moved the running back to wide receiver, and y'all thought that shit was going to work.
He was a good athlete. We did the reverse with CJ Procise. Like, we've moved guys around all the time.
My meemaw is a better athlete. By the way, look at a young Blake. You see that?
He looks just like you just look like Ben.
Or Ben looks like me, you mean?
Yeah.
One thing that I think is the most interesting – here's a storyline for Notre Dame. You can add Notre Dame into this. Golly, we got to – okay, I got to move quickly. I think Riley Leonard, okay, if he stays healthy, is people are not talking enough about. The problem is people don't realize how easy the schedule is for Notre Dame. So I don't think they realize how good this team could be. I'm just very, very, very skeptical about the weapons. Can I give a sourcing thing on this too? I'm not the only new addition. I'm not saying Denbrock. There are multiple people that were at LSU last year that followed Denbrock to South Bend. I have heard that they believe that they're not good enough on the outside yet.
I've heard the opposite, not from the same people that you're talking about. I've just heard the opposite, that the team generally feels really good about their receivers.
All right. Hey, I'll go deep. I take this very seriously. I know I joke around a lot on some things. Uh-huh. Deep sourcing, they believe that they're going to have to use Riley Leonard more running the football than they believed it going into it.
Last year, Malik Nabers was a really good receiver coming into the season.
Keep LSU out of it.
This has everything to do with LSU because it's Mike Denbrock. Brian Thomas Jr. was a nobody, and he's about to be a first overall or first round pick.
A nobody.
He had no production the previous year. None. Zero. Zero production. The year before 2023, what production did Brian Thomas have in 2022? He had double
touchdowns, Joe.
I'm talking about in 2022.
He had eight or nine. What are you talking about?
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
Wait, I need to look this up. 2022.
That's
not true. He had 361 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns.
Those stats.
That's not a bad stat. My point is, though, is that Denbrock used good talent on his roster that maybe hadn't necessarily gotten to where it could be and turned them to elite players.
Joe, do not try to compare Brian Thomas. You do not have Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr.
Weren't they both 3-stars?
Brian Thomas was a high 4-star. Malik Nabers was moved to a 4-star, but went the entire length as a 3-star.
Notre Dame has multiple high 4-stars in the receiver room that were underclassmen last year.
You're stupid ass. Let's talk about our good friends at BetOnline. Let's finish out with this Johnny Manziel thing next.
Ruffino and Joe show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code Ruffino Joe to get 15% off your order. That is RUFFINO, Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Johnny Manziel's back in the news. Well, it was actually in the news last week with Shannon Sharp. Joe, the former Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel, believes and says that he is going to send out the festivities of the Heisman Trophy until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. I'm with him. I agree with him that Reggie Bush deserves his Heisman Trophy back, without a question. I just don't think he's the right spokesperson to be doing it.
Yes. So I think it would be a lot more impactful if he had said, me and the following three people, Heisman Trophy winners, are going to be boycotting the Heisman Trophy ceremony and all that stuff. If he was really trying to make an impact, he would rally as many people as he could. I don't feel like he has that good of a relationship with that many former Heisman Trophy winners that he could do that. So it's probably not going to happen. But I'm trying to think of like a good example compared to this, though. It's meaningless if it's just him. I would argue that the Heisman Trophy probably doesn't really want to be too closely associated with him right now. He's kind of radioactive. So they probably don't care. But if he got Cam Newton, if he got Devontae Smith, Derrick Henry.
He got the entire USC band that are Heisman Trophy winners.
Right. That would be a lot more impactful. But it's just him. You know,
why did it take Johnny Manziel to say this and not Matt Leiner?
Well, that's a really good point. Like, that's the real point here, is that why has nobody else of the USC brass publicly stated and done something like this?
Well, I think Matt has said before that he would like for him to have his Heisman back, but he just hasn't been this active about it.
Maybe nobody's thought to do this, but I harp on and reiterate, if Johnny Manziel wants to make an impact, call some people up, convince some people to participate in this, and then we might actually get some traction.
Yeah, I agree. Look, you can't be the guy that says basically you were doing a lot of the same things that Reggie Bush was doing and that you didn't get caught and the NCAA missed it, and then be the one that thinks it's okay to, you know, cry wolf on this. But the ultimate thing, though, and his point, Joey deserves his Heisman Trophy back. He was the best player in college football that year. It's not, you know, we put this on him. He was an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid that was trying to do the best thing for his family. What was he supposed to say? No?
Right.
What are we discussing? So, look, bottom line for me is I hope Reggie one day gets his Heisman Trophy back. I hope that he lives to see the day that it happens. You know, like we've seen things like this with Pete Rose. Pete Rose might not ever see the day of him getting to the Hall of Fame. So,
I mean, he's young. He's only in his 40s, so there's probably a
reason. You get what I mean, though. But look, man, 20
years. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're very right.
So, I mean, hell, Joe, I'm 30. I'm 30 plus. I got gray in my beard. Look right here. I have a gray in my beard.
There's no gray in there.
It's turning red. You see the red tips?
Yeah, red's not gray.
But then, no, what happens is that this all starts turning to gray. Then I got to cut it and then make it blend back in.
You don't want the gray beard?
I do not. Well, my wife wouldn't mind me having some salt and pepper. She likes salt and pepper.
Jeez.
DeBoer couldn't recruit. I've never seen Gavin or anybody flip on a head coach like Gavin has flipped on Kalen DeBoer.
Hey, man, I love it. I love it. I love that Gavin's like that.
I love it, too. We'll see y'all on Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.